Mike, when you say the name Jerry Springer, what probably comes to mind is his raucous daily TV show, which has been a rating success for about 25 years now. But he is a true Renaissance man when you think of his political and government service, his acting, singing. He's an author. He's been a TV and radio host and was a contestant on Dancing with the Stars, hosted America's Got Talent. He provided political commentary during the past presidential campaign for a television in Great Britain. Jerry Springer, welcome to Normal.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me. Normally, yeah, the idea that you would have Jerry Springer and Normal in the same sentence is rare, but it's good to be here.
Well, you're here and we appreciate it. Your TV show is provocative and loud, yet it often deals with marital infidelity, minority, and LGBTQ issues. How does the Jerry Springer show add to the American public discourse?
Well, it reflects part of it. I don't think it adds. You know, the show's a circus, and that's all it's meant to be. A side effect of it probably is that it opens up to people that maybe are not aware of certain issues that are going on. They suddenly see a slice of America that maybe they didn't, you know, they weren't that conscious of. So that's a possibility. The show is put on, I'm not pretending it's anything more than it is. It's a circus. It's put on for 1 hour of escapism. But the people come on. Now, we don't deal with any life-changing issues. It's mostly about dating, and people get angry. That's legitimate, what you see there. But the next day, they're dating someone else. So, you know, we don't deal with pregnancy tests or something like that, which does change a person's life. So it's a circus, nothing more. And obviously, enough people like it that it keeps staying on the air.
You spoke to School of Communication students today, and you challenged them to make a difference and pay more attention to their citizenship. Given what's been going on in the country lately, are you finding this an easier sell with students when you talk to them?
Well, I think right now it's becoming an easier sell just because, you can't be alive in today's America and not be aware of what's suddenly happening in our country and the really fundamental changes that are going on, which are kind of unsettling. This is the first time, certainly in my lifetime, I'm 73, it's the first time in my lifetime when the very idea America is being challenged. The idea that we are represented in a sense by the Statue of Liberty rather than by a wall, and that's being challenged. That this is the one place on earth where it shouldn't matter what your religion is, who your parents were, what ethnicity you are, that this is a welcoming place. And now we have people in power that want to challenge that or change that. We have to remember that America is the only country in the history of the world to be created by an idea. Every other country starts out by being some kind of tribe, ethnic group, race, or whatever. And, you know, then they get some land, they want to expand. Maybe it becomes a kingdom or an empire. That's the history of the world. But America started out as an idea, and then they created the country on that idea, as articulated in the Declaration of Independence, and then as manifested in more recent times with the Statue of Liberty. That we just took as a given. But now suddenly we're talking about, wait a second, certain religions aren't welcome here. Certain people aren't welcome. It's so frightening, and I think that's why you're seeing people taking to the streets and the division we have in this country that we've had very few times in our history.
Yeah, in fact, when you appeared on British television right after Donald Trump was elected president, you basically asked the questions, are we really open to religion? Are we really open to race relations in this country? Is this country, in fact, what we thought it has been for over 200 years? How do you answer that question?
Well, it's a fair question to ask now, and we'll find out what the answer is. I'd like to think that most people do want to keep that idea, that most people are not in favor of all of us becoming, you know, shutting off the rest of the world, saying, you know, this is only a place for white Christian people. There's nothing wrong with being white and Christian, but what is wrong is if you make a country that is only that, because then, you know, why do we send our sons and daughters to fight and die for our country if we don't even believe in what it stands for? You know, why do we stand up in this for a seventh inning stretch and profess to love our country when deep down we don't believe in what America stands for? We don't believe, you know, this should be open to all religions or whatever. It's just, you know, we're being called now. This is a test. This is an incredible test. And I must say, in the last couple of weeks, as frightening as it is, it's encouraging to see, you know, whether it's women, African Americans, young people, Muslims, Jews, Catholics, Christians, a lot of most people now seem to be standing up and saying, whoa, an election is one thing, but don't you dare change what America stands for. I'm encouraged by that outpouring.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Willis Kern talking with Jerry Springer, who is on the ISU campus today speaking to students. I want to put you in a place of, you're in charge of the DNC right now, the Democratic National Committee. Democratic Party is facing a crossroads. Does it go to the centrist route, which elected presidents like Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, or does it return to the liberal roots where you had failed presidential candidates like Walter Mondale and Michael Dukakis and George McGovern? What do you do if you're in charge of the Democratic Party right now?
Well, our constituency has always been, I think we should look at it differently, our constituency has always been people that aren't necessarily rich and powerful. And that could be African American, it could be white, it could be a farmer, it could be people in rural America. It crosses along part, you know, all groups, all racial groups and all ethnic groups. It's people that are being left out, people that are not being heard. And that should be our focus. And if that is our focus, then obviously we'll win elections because that's the majority of people. Most people aren't rich. What happens is once in a while, like in this past campaign, you got someone who basically conned people. He said, hey, vote for me and I'll take care of the forgotten Americans and we'll clear the swamp. And then the first thing he did was everyone in his cabinet, he rehired Wall Street. Everyone's Goldman Sachs or billionaire. And, oh my gosh, within 3 weeks, he basically said I was only kidding. And now these people that voted for him because they really thought he was going to care about them or we're going to have policies, we find out that, no, we're going to do away with the regulations of Wall Street. We're going to have a tax plan that helps wealthy people. They're going to get the tax breaks. And we don't have a real replacement for the Affordable Care Act, so millions of people will lose their health insurance. You know, this is a total con job. So I don't think we have to worry about, oh, which strategy.
Basically, what you're saying is that from a Democratic Party standpoint, Trump is just a blip on the radar screen and you should just sail ahead.
Well, we lost this election, but we lost the election. We lost the electoral vote. Let's be honest. Hillary Clinton won by 3 million votes in terms of the American people voted with their voice. They said, for better or worse, they wanted Hillary to be president. But we have the electoral system here. So the person that gets the most votes isn't necessarily the person that becomes the president. It's kind of weird because it's the only office in America where the person who gets the office is not the person who gets the most votes. I mean, think about it. When you vote for governor, senator, congressman, mayor, county commissioner, would you stand by and say the person that gets the second most votes should be the winner? You know, and because we have this electoral college, which admittedly was put in the very beginning, and that's the law. So Trump is legally the president, but we shouldn't translate that to believe that's what most people wanted. It's not which is why you see demonstrations in the street, because people are saying, hey, wait a second. How did this happen? We won. You know, we got the most votes. How come our person isn't in there? And I think that's a legitimate question. And remember, the Electoral College, clearly that's the law, Trump's the president, but the Electoral College was put in the beginning when they didn't want everybody voting. It was put in at the same time where the only people who could vote really were white men who owned property. blacks weren't allowed to vote. Women weren't allowed to vote. You know, if you didn't own something, you weren't allowed to vote. So we can't say that's what we should be today. Does anyone seriously believe that in our country we should only have white males voting? So obviously the system has to be fixed. And that's what we're dealing with now. But I don't think the question is, should the Democratic Party suddenly change our values? No, I believe we shouldn't have discrimination. We shouldn't have bigotry. People by right in this country should be able to get to a doctor, should be able to have an education. That should be because you're American, because you're a human being, you get that. We shouldn't have to still argue over that.
Jerry Springer is visiting Illinois State University to speak to students, and he hosted a stage show at Brayden Auditorium last night. Thanks so much for being here today. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Willis Kern.